Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas weekend. Hope Santa was very good to you. Joe Rex Road, live from Florida. What's going on, my man?
Not much. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. No coal in the stocking. Everything went well.
It was 50-50.
Down. It was 50-50?
Yeah. I thought you might get some coal this year.
It was touch and go. No doubt about it. Kids, you know, didn't fight too much on the drive down. Everything's great. How about you guys?
That's good stuff. Michelle, how was your Christmas?
It was great. Got back from New York last night. Guys, I don't know how, but I dodged a bullet. Every American Airlines flight looked like it was canceled. Somehow I just glided right through.
Just going right through.
Oh, I was so thankful. I was like sleeping in a chair. I was like, please don't get delayed anymore.
Now, judging by your photos, your Christmas looked a little bit different than mine and than Joe's did. A little bit of snow up there in New York?
Yes, it snowed. I got home on Wednesday, and then it snowed Thursday into Christmas Eve on Friday. So it was really nice to wake up, but I will say, good thing I live here because I am just not okay with the cold. My mom was like, Michelle, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I can't deal with this. It is way too cold. I'm going back inside. And then I got back here and it was beautiful weather last night and this morning. So
yeah,
we're all good.
It's just, you know, at some point it's like you can't do it anymore. Can't do it anymore.
Get down to Nashville. And I did, you know, there is, and this happens a lot, which, by the way, this is one of my favorite things, because every year on Christmas, it's not like 70 like it was this year. Although I was looking through my Facebook memories the other day, and like three times in the last 6 years, I've been like, oh, it's 70 degrees on Christmas. So apparently it happens more often than I thought. But like, there were like, I had like 12 Facebook friends on Saturday just whining about how there was no white Christmas. And I was like, guys, I've lived here my entire life. It snowed on Christmas maybe one time. Maybe. And that made it may not even been on Christmas Day. Like, if you're looking for a white Christmas, Nashville, Tennessee, probably not your spot.
Listen, it's not all it looks to be, because yeah. It was really cold. I was freezing. It was nice for some pictures, but that's about it.
So, Joe Rex.
By the way, though, I was just looking at, you know, my weather app. So we're actually maybe getting snow Sunday, though?
Maybe. Be fun.
Wild.
You're not going to need a white Christmas, but you'll get a snowy New Year. How's that for you?
Yeah.
Consolation prize.
I don't want any of it, but whatever.
Hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas and that Santa was good to you. Joe Rexford, how did you spend your Christmas? Were you watching more of the Packers and the Browns, or were you watching some NBA basketball? How'd that go?
Yeah, you know, well, I was watching the Packers-Browns, but then as soon as Suns-Warriors started, that was the Packers-Browns was the flip-back channel.
Okay? Yeah.
As it should have been. Got a lot of people on Twitter who got real mad at me about, you know, daring say that like basketball should be watched. But man, that was an incredible Suns Warriors was. And then I tweeted, I was like, everybody should get to ABC because this game's incredible. And the Warriors just dominated the rest of the game. So then like Kaharsi got mad, you know, like, hey, look, I didn't know how it was going to end, but from start to finish, that was high level, incredible basketball. And the Warriors without Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins won in Phoenix. So that was pretty great. But, I mean, I also enjoyed some awful Baker Mayfield quarterbacking on Christmas.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that as well. It was good stuff.
I'm sure you did.
Well, they needed it. My Packers, they got some things figured out, my man. Got some things figured out. But it's good to be 12-3 when you got those things figured out.
I mean, really, other than Kansas City right now, who feels great about every, you know, like who feels perfect? I mean, like the Bengals look great yesterday, but who the heck knows, you know? every week, the freaking Chargers. My gosh. I mean, every week in this league, it's just like, what in the world? Your guy, Davis Mills, by the way, we've been making a lot of fun of Davis Mills and Dan Campbell this year. You know, what if those guys join forces at some point? That could be a powerful union in the NFL.
I don't know what you're talking about making fun of him. I've seen this performance coming from Davis Mills for a long time, and he gets out there yesterday, gets it done 41-29 against the Chargers. So I know the Chargers didn't have Austin Eckler in the game yesterday, but that didn't stop, you know, your defense from playing. They gave up 41 to the Texans. I don't know if the Texans have scored 41 all year long combined, but did that yesterday. It's good stuff.
I mean, Chris Conley is just going off, you know, like what? They don't even have Brandon Cooks in the game. It's, man, that's a, I mean, that might keep them out of the playoffs. So,
yeah,
you know, it's, and that's a team that, well, you know, we talked at the beginning of the year. That's a darling, right? That was a darling going into the year. But even at various points of this year, you know, that looked like a team that could really make a run. And just a, less than 2 weeks ago, it's a team that was just about to beat Kansas City and be in position to win that division, except they don't believe in field goals.
Yeah, and speaking of keeping yourself out of the playoffs, like it looks like COVID and injuries combined, Baltimore – they're in trouble. They get, I mean, yeah. Joe Burrow threw for 525 yards and four touchdowns yesterday in that game. It was just insane, the numbers that Joe Burrow was putting up against a pass defense that, albeit not been very good all year, but when you're as banged up and as decimated by injuries and COVID as Baltimore is right now, Joe Burrow did literally whatever he wanted to do yesterday.
I mean, at least there's consistency, like, within that matchup. Cincinnati, you know, just blasted that team twice. So it's just a bad matchup, I guess. But I don't know. Did you see that, you know, the Wink Martindale thing?
Yeah.
With Joe Burrow?
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't think was a big deal, but apparently pissed off Joe Burrow. So
apparently so.
Said, you know, don't get him fitted for his gold jacket just yet. And Joe Burrow's like, well, if I could play you every Sunday, I'd probably earn it in about 3 years.
Let's say be Hall of Famer very quickly. You can play them every Sunday. I came away from the biggest takeaway I had yesterday from NFL action outside of my man Davis Mills getting it done once again was it's just still amazing to me the Titans lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was watching that game, and look, I get it. Kansas City, they look like they've figured things out at this point, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, offense looked great yesterday too, and they didn't have Travis Kelce, so that's concerning for the rest of the AFC as they move forward here. Pittsburgh is terrible. I mean, Kansas City just absolutely destroyed them. And, gosh, I just can't believe the Titans let that one get away. That Pittsburgh team is trash.
They're pretty bad. They are pretty bad. I mean, they, you know, it's usually doesn't end, like, on top, and it's just not a great ending for Roethlisberger, and they're just – fumbling the ball all over the place and just, yeah, because I mean, honestly, going into that game with their losses and just with the wackiness of the NFL, I figured, hey, who knows, you know? But it was quickly apparent, like, Kansas City, and you can take some good people off their team, and still they've got it rolling. I mean, to me, they're quickly, I think, moving into the spot where although the NFC has the better or the larger group of really good teams, and I think you could look at Kansas City and say, man, who, you know, they might be the favorite to win the whole thing, which again would just go back to the beginning of the year when most people thought that anyway.
Yeah, and now they're 11-4. They are rolling right now, and they're looking like they're going to be in pretty good shape to get the one seed in the AFC. Now, good news for the Titans over the weekend, and Joe, you've been calling this for weeks. It's time to take your victory lap. The Buffalo Bills taking down the New England Patriots in Foxborough. Josh Allen making some big plays yesterday. 3 touchdowns, 314 yards through the air. Isaiah McKenzie making some big plays as well. And the Buffalo Bills get it done 33-21, which means the Titans, as we sit here today, right now the 2 seed in the AFC behind Kansas City.
And you know, the one is possible.
It is.
Because, you know, you look at the standings. I mean, look, Cincinnati is, you know, dangerous, good team. They're going to be in the playoffs. I think they're going to win that division. And they've got the Chiefs at home, you know, coming up on Sunday. I'm not totally sure Well, look, of course you'd want the one because you get that week off. And for this Titans team, I think that could be a really good thing. But the way the – if the bracket were to be in the playoffs, it's like it is right now. That's not terrible at all. If you're the Titans, to be the two, you know, the only place that you would have to go, of course, would be Kansas City. You would start right now, you would start with the Ravens. They're the seven, okay? So it would be a 2-7 with the Ravens. And the Bills and Colts, two teams that I just – I mean, obviously, we know the Colts. So the Colts are on fire. I mean, they look dangerous. But the Bills, I mean, look, I watched that whole game yesterday. I mean, Josh Allen was a stud yesterday, even though he always has a – every fifth pass is an arm punt, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, how did you – he tried to throw a pick that would have, I think, lost them the game. But J.C. Jackson dropped it, and then Josh Allen did his thing. Those two teams right now would be the 4-5, which would be a heck of a matchup. Be in Buffalo, and then the winner getting, barring a crazy upset, but the winner would probably get the Chiefs. You know, so I think you like this side of the bracket right now. If you're the Titans, if you could beat the Ravens, you'd have the winner of the Patriots and Bengals come into your place. I think that's not a bad setup. Maybe someone could knock off the Chiefs for you. And of course this bracket right now, there's so much change. It can happen. The Chargers are just out. The Raiders are just outside. And honestly, if the Dolphins win tonight in New Orleans, then they're right there too. And they are coming in here fighting for their playoff lives. So it's probably going to change, but right now it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if this is how it played out.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the AFC playoff picture and get into the Colts, their big win Saturday night against the Cardinals coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's four locations. You can help us achieve our goal by getting shoes to 100 kids in the Nashville area experiencing homelessness. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, we're going to get a little bit more into the Titans, their win against San Francisco, and what that means moving forward here in just a few minutes. But I'll start by saying it's a good thing they won that game, because Indy with a big win on Saturday night against Arizona. They get it done 22-16 on the road against the Cardinals. I thought Carson Wentz was really good in that game. He made some big-time throws, ends up with two touchdown passes, a 113 quarterback rating. You know, Jonathan Taylor had the big 43-yard run. Other than that, I actually thought Arizona did a pretty good job of slowing him down a little bit, but he breaks off the big one to begin the game. But all in all, when you consider the COVID issues that Indy was dealing with, and especially how that affected them on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I know you didn't have Quentin Nelson in the game either, but that's a big win for the Colts, and they're a scary team right now. That's a big win for Indianapolis on Saturday night.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, that is and actually, I've thought the same thing about the Niners, but the Titans slowed that train down a little bit. Boy, they could be in trouble, the Niners, if New Orleans wins tonight.
Yeah.
Even if they win out, the Niners could be in position to miss out. But the Colts have separated, and they are – I mean, to me, they're the team that's going to be the team that starts on the road that you don't want to mess with. Like you said, the Cardinals did do a good job. So the rest of the game, what, 26 carries for like 60 yards?
Yeah.
For Jonathan Taylor. But Carson Wentz picked up the slack, some big plays, Pittman, some big plays. They were missing people. Now the Cardinals also are, I mean, they are fading. And this has sort of been a trend under Kingsbury. So that's part of it too. But that's a dangerous Colts team. There's no doubt. And you get people back and they're going to be a problem. You know, what was Wentz? 18 for 28, 225 and two. You know, T.Y. Hilton still making some big plays for you. I mean, it's awfully impressive what they've done after the 1-4 start. I mean, 8-2 since then. And yeah, right now it easily could be tied technically, although it would still be the Titans. I would still favor the Titans because I think the Titans, you look at just this situation, one, this is be talked about all week. Vrabel hasn't lost on an extra rest game yet. And the Dolphins are especially less rest. Kind of unfair to the Dolphins. You know, if you really look at this matchup, you got a team coming off a Thursday at home, and then you're going to go to their place after playing Monday Night Football on the road.
Yeah.
That's really like the Dolphins kind of get screwed in this scenario. But, you know, the magic number remains one for the Titans. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see the Dolphins tonight to see what they've got. I mean, both of those teams are fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah, it's a big game for the Dolphins tonight. And, you know, if they win, as you said earlier, they're going to put themselves right there in the thick of the race in the AFC. I was thinking about it as I watched the clock expire on Saturday night and Indy walks out of there with a win. Just what a big win, what a big-time performance A.J. Brown is responsible for in that second half of the game of the Titans. I mean, we're sitting here today. If you lose that game against San Francisco, and our text line is full of panic, I can guarantee. I mean, just panic with Titans fans if they lose that game last Thursday. And yet you find a way to win the game. Now you've only got to win one coming down the stretch, or Indy's got to lose one, which honestly, I don't see them losing these last two games. They've got the Raiders at home coming up this weekend, which the Raiders, they've been hit or miss this year. You don't really know what you're going to get. And then just a lifeless Jacksonville Jaguars team to close out the season. So you're probably going to have to take care of business yourself if you're the Titans. But that win against San Francisco, I feel a whole lot better about the situation.
Yeah, it's a massive win. I mean, it's one of the biggest wins of the year. And after, you know, just a brutal first half offensively. I mean, even defensively, you know, it started out really poorly. But that second half, I mean, that's got to be one of their better halves of the year, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Or halves of the year. Halves of the year. I mean, it was, you know, first of all, a 20-point half. Those don't happen too much around the Tennessee Titans anymore. And against a good defense and just – A.J. Brown, I mean, that's if that's the guy you're going to get, you know, then you got to like your chances. And, of course, we would think now that the Titans would be more healthy up front. Of course, also the entire offensive line room is going through the COVID list. So that's another issue with this week. You got – who's on there now? I think you have four people on it right now.
Yep, I think so.
Luan Saffold, Nate Davis.
Nate Davis is on there, and is there one more? That may be it.
There is one. Well, I'll figure it out. I think there's one more, but you know, so that's another thing that, you know, uncertainty here in the next few days, and also are there going to be more people placed on it? But no one was yesterday.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. Says the Colts are very much the 2019 Titans. They threw a running back and a quarterback that can't make mistakes. The difference is the Colts are definitely more mistake-prone with Wentz at QB. Sorry, I had to sort that one out a little bit.
I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
No, that's not a bad comparison. You know, that's not a bad comparison at all. You can see the Titans were a rough start, and, you know, then – got all the way back.
It's Kendall Lamb, by the way, on the list as well.
Thank you. There you go. Kendall Lamb. So, but yeah, it's a good comparison. I mean, to me, I know some Titans fans will hate this thought, but like if I'm the Titans, I don't relish a third trying to beat them for a third time. I mean, look, if it's now, if it's later, you know, if it's like they go beat the Chiefs,
sure,
and then you get the AFC title game at home against them or something, great, you know. But they've just got that feeling going.
They
no
do.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. They are a team that nobody in the AFC really wants to see right now. Ron on the text line says, the only hope we've got to get the number one seed is for Kansas City to lose to the Bengals. Hopefully they can do it because we could really use that bye week. This is coming from Ron on the text line. I think Titans would love to have that extra week.
Good, accurate use of bye week, Ron. One.
Thank you.
And two, so what is look? What are the stakes for Cincinnati? I mean, you know, you look at that, that's the thing is like that division. I mean, well, the Ravens are still, but they have the tiebreaker. So, you know, they've swept the Ravens and they have it. So they technically have a 2-game lead over the Ravens. Now, of course, you lose this game, Ravens win, and then at the end they could still bypass you. I mean, the Browns are just the Browns are a disappointment. Well, it's still you're playing for the division if you're the Bengals, so it's a big game at home. I think it's possible. Like every team, you can go look through the Bengals and say, wait, how did this happen? How did that happen? They do finish at Cleveland. And I guess Cleveland could still be technically alive. I mean, that's the thing. Tonight is big for the Titans because, you know, if the Saints win, technically the Dolphins would be, I think, still mathematically alive, but it would do serious damage to their hopes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's probably better for you if you're the Titans. You know, if they lose tonight, they go to 7-8, so they'd be in a tie. You know, they'd be basically in a tie for 12th, you know. Still, again, a chance with 2 games left. They'd have to win. Either way, they have to win in Nashville. But I just feel like momentum and all that stuff, it would be better for you if New Orleans takes care of them tonight.
It would be, and, you know, Cincinnati's interesting because, you know, you've got Kansas City coming up this weekend. You close it out with the Browns. The Browns, to me, watching them play the other day, and I know they had some guys that were hurt and the COVID list as well, I just don't think they're very good. I mean, with Baker Mayfield at quarterback, some of the decisions he makes sometimes, I'm just like, what are you doing, man? He looked – I'm not even going to say it. I was going to say he looked like Marcus Mariota out there the other day, but that's too disrespectful to Marcus a couple days after Christmas. Not going to do it.
I don't think he looked like Mariota because Mariota would often not make those risky throws. You know, like I think the bigger criticism of him was like sometimes you got to try to fit a ball in there, right?
Right.
I mean, Baker's just throwing crap all over the place. Like what? I mean, honestly, you watched that game more closely than I did, but to me, if he just didn't make some of those outrageous mistakes, they would have been right there to win the game.
They won the game, yeah. If they don't turn the ball over, they win that game. It's a couple of them, you know, there was one in particular. I mean, the last interception he threw, you can make a pretty good argument. It's pass interference by Rasul Douglas of the Packers.
Yeah,
it's probably pass interference. Other than that, I mean, some of the throws he made, like even the first one where he was complaining about illegal contact. Like there's nobody in your face, and you're throwing it into double coverage. Like, what are you doing? it's just a stupid throw by Baker Mayfield. Like the quarterback play in the AFC, it's very interesting right now because Mahomes is what he is. Josh Allen, I think we were reminded again yesterday of what he can be. Like really, other than that, right now, like Justin Herbert, he's just kind of up and down this year. It's really interesting to watch the quarterback play right now in the AFC.
I mean, you gotta give Burrow a little mention.
I love you some Joe Burrow.
You know, Mac Jones yesterday.
Mm.
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, he made some plays even when they're behind. He brought him back a couple times at touchdown drives. Still a lot of running on those drives. You know, he made some good throws, he's the best rookie. But again, this is why I just have never bought the Patriots to really make a run this year. You know. There's just still limitations on that passing game. And then, you know, the Titans, I mean, that's still going to be a huge part of the story. Like the second half of Ryan Tannehill there with AJ Brown, like, is that just now become the expectation, you know?
Yep.
Is there a confidence boost for Tannehill from that? Did he need one? I mean, certainly the discussion around him, depending on who's doing the talking, has been, you know, from very critical to like absolute apocalyptic, you know. But look, he has, I mean, the Titans needed him to have a half like that. Now, can he carry it over? Like, if he does, you know, to me, the Titans are about to finish 12-5, but it's also such a mistake now to expect anything in this league on a weekly basis.
Jordan texting in says, how are Titans fans calling out Wentz's turnovers when they haven't happened at the same clip this year? Wentz has been pretty good for the most part of taking care of the ball. Now, he has had some moments where, I mean, look at the Titans game. He threw a death pick in that game. There's no question about that. But he has had some moments where it's been bad. But, yes, the overall turnover numbers, not really that high from Carson Wentz.
Well, look, here's the thing with the Colts. So they're 9-6, and they're dangerous, and we all agree. You know, they could be a problem. Also, you know, I mean, I think we have to agree. You know, Carson Wentz has had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
Gosh, what's he looking at now? He's got 3,200 yards, 25 TDs, 6 picks. I mean, like the numbers, if you're the Colts going into the season, you looked at his numbers and their record, you'd be like, heck yeah. But the Rams game, they could have won. The Bucs game, they could have won. The Titans game, they could have won. So they could be 12-3 right now. And it was specifically his ridiculous turnovers that lost those games. I think you'd still take him if you're a Colts fan.
Sure.
Let's ride with what he got. But you got to remember that. He doesn't have a ton of them, but the ones he's had have been disastrous.
Did you see the question to Belichick yesterday in his post-game press conference about New Year's resolutions?
Oh, my God. No, please. Amazing. Please, we got to have the sound of that.
We could find it. Somebody asked him about New Year's resolutions, and his response was amazing. We'll see if we can find that coming up for you, and we'll play that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hi, football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers?
Yeah, no, not right now.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe next week.
That was one of the questions that Bill Belichick got in his post-game press conference yesterday. After a tough divisional loss against the Bills, you have a chance to really grab a stranglehold of the AFC East yesterday. It lets it slip away, and there's a question about New Year's resolutions in his post-game press conference. To his credit, I thought he handled that kind of well, given his standards.
I can't believe he actually said, maybe next week. Yes. I mean, you have to ask him again. You have to ask him again now.
Not right now. Maybe next week. That's
outstanding. After an L like that, my goodness.
Just coming in there with hey, football aside, you know, I'm doing this story on New Year's resolutions. Just wondering right now if you've got one. Bill, just let me know anytime you're ready.
Outstanding. I need to know the name of the reporter, please.
Oh, I do too. That was, I tell you what, that's a brave reporter, whoever she was. It was good stuff.
Hey, look, if you're doing a thing on New Year's resolutions and you're at a press conference with Bill Belichick, it's irresponsible not to ask Bill Belichick about his New Year's resolution.
Yes,
okay?
It is. Yes, it is. Beautiful stuff there. Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. I hate to bring up old games, but seeing the Steelers play got me hating that we let that one go. Plus Houston, for not having anything to play for, they're looking hungry for nothing. You better watch out for the Texans. Everybody's getting on that Davis Mills bandwagon right now. I just want people to know I was on there first.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you had to climb way high to get on the bandwagon, but you got on it.
Had to use some harnesses and pull myself up. I got there, though.
Oh, my goodness. I'm watching those highlights, and I'm like, can you tell his neck's that long as he's throwing these touchdown passes on the Chargers? I don't know. But tell you what, man, Chris Conley getting behind their defense. I'm like, what is going on? Hey, whatever the situation is for the Titans, I mean, it could be that they have to win for the division. It could be that they're just they're playing for seeding and that it gets wrapped up this week. The Texans are going to show up that day, and They're not going to just lay down. They have already won, by the way. They're 1-0 against the Titans.
They are.
Let's all remember that.
They are. You got to avoid the sweep of Davis Mills and the Texans. There's no question about that.
I guess the Titans are lucky it wasn't. I mean, the first game would have been just a blowout if it was Davis Mills at QB.
Just bludgeoning them in the rain. What a pretty day that was at Nissan Stadium. So, Joe Rexroad, obviously you were there. You were in the building on Thursday night at Nissan Stadium. And we talked to you on Friday morning, Elijah and myself, about the performance specifically from A.J. Brown. I guess my question to you is, after you've seen that performance, after you've seen what A.J. Brown can do, coming back in, obviously he looked pretty healthy, especially in the second half of that game. Does that kind of change your thought of what this offense can be as they move down the stretch of the regular season here with hopefully Derrick Henry's return on the horizon? We'll get to that coming up more here in just a few minutes. But as you watched A.J. Brown the other night, did that change the way you think about Tannehill? Did that change the way you think about what this offense can be coming down the stretch?
Well, look, I guess I've been in the camp of, you know, a Tannehill apologist, I guess, is what I've been. I don't have a hugely different view on Tannehill. I believe what I've seen for two seasons with him, you know. again, you can believe that. You can believe that. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. And still acknowledge that, you know, he hasn't been good enough this year, that he hasn't reacted well to the pretty bad situation. So I don't feel, I mean, let me go to a Vrabel quote from the next day, from Christmas Eve, day after the, the win over San Fran. He gets the question, you know, about Tannehill. Is he playing with more confidence now from that game? So Vrabel's answer is, yeah, quote, yeah, but we also protected. He also wasn't getting hit every other play, like maybe sometimes before. I mean, you know.
That's about as close as you're going to get from Vrabel there to being like, yeah, you know.
Let's keep going with the quote. When given some time, you can see Ryan was able to deliver the football. And Vrabel's been saying this all year. I mean, we people can listen to him or not, but that's my answer to you, Robbie, is, okay, how's that going to be? It's huge to have A.J. Brown back, and that's a big dimension of the offense. They badly needed that, and you can see. I mean, A.J. Brown, when he's right, you can all start talking again about, like, where does he rank among receivers? There just aren't – he's just a unique player with his physicality, and his ability after the catch to do things. And really, he can do everything you need from a receiver. He can get downhill, too, and go high point the ball. And so that's a big deal. But I still – my answer is still a question, which is, what is this offensive line going to be? What's up with the back with Lawan? You know, is Saffold? I mean, Saffold's going to be out there. He's going to be coming off the field, but it's still worth having him out there.
Yeah,
right. You know, with the shoulder. I mean, there's just a lot of questions to me there. If that's going to be good, then I like their chances. Is it unrealistic to, you know, to think that offensive line could finally be what we thought they'd be this season? Does this extra rest help them? And obviously, that's where the bye week could also be a big deal them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's another situation where, I mean, Julio Jones was out there on Thursday. He had one catch for 7 yards on one target. He did play. I guess he got through that game healthy too. I just, at this point, I don't see it. I just don't see him being a factor coming down the stretch here.
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, I think he can be a factor in terms like you tell me Julio Jones is going to have like a 5-catch, 45-yard game or something where he's a solid two, possession guys, a compliment who gets some nice matchups and coverage situations that he can go make a catch for you. I mean, I think it's a good thing that he was able to play, finish a game, and I think he can still be a factor. I think the idea that he's going to be quote-unquote Julio Jones is – you know, probably over or at least unrealistic, but I still think it's better to have him than to not. And I'm not ruling him out for making some kind of a difference here. You know, those guys, you know, it's like the Rams game. I mean, neither of those guys had huge nights, but they both made some key catches in that game. That was the last time they played together. And if you get that, you know, along with a running game, that's fine. I think and that's what we saw to me is a huge difference, because we're thinking in terms of pass pro, because obviously they're playing Bosa and those guys, and they just have struggled in pass pro all year. But, you know, the running game needs Luan and Saffold back, whether it's Derrick Henry running the ball or, you know, Deontay Foreman or Dontrell, whoever it is. You know, those guys have been really good as run blockers, and they were missed. It was pretty obvious, I thought, Thursday.
What did you think of Dylan Raidens? Obviously, a lot of discussion about him after the game. Look, they left him one-on-one sometimes. They gave him a lot of help as well, which you would expect in a situation like that. You know, Tannehill, I mean, he got sacked four times in the game, so it's not like he was clean the whole game, but at least one of them, I mean, there was one where it looked like he was back there on a beach vacation and just didn't get rid of the ball. I thought largely they did a decent job of protecting him given the situation on the offensive line. What did you make of Dylan Raidens and the line as a whole against San Francisco?
I don't know how you can I don't know how you can look at this situation. Look, Dylan Raidens, he's a second round pick, and so that automatically brings the wait a minute. Second round pick has got to help your team.
Right.
And why isn't this guy? And why did he get moved inside? All these things. So I think you have to separate the two discussions. It's still always going to be what did you get out of this investment? But first of all, you have to feel better about that, I think, after Thursday, because it's clear that he's been working and was ready to go out there and be a decent offensive lineman in the NFL. And honestly, I think there's a lot of people who question whether that would be possible. And I understand, you know, it hasn't been very good early for him, but Vrabel, you know, you can call it coach speak, but as Vrabel has been asked about him before too, he's been happy with how he's worked. I mean, Raidens himself said after the game, like, well, I've had to get ready for the speed of the NFL. I came from FCS. It's all, you know, you can look at his excuse making, but I think you see here that this is, you know, a young player who was working hard. I think you have to, like, I mean, he felt good about it. You have to feel like, okay, there's a chance here. Maybe this guy can be, you know, your right tackle down the road. I don't know. I didn't watch that game and say, oh, that guy, 10 years of right tackle, sign him up right now. But and there were times, again, there were times where he had Bosa singled up and he did fine. In fact, Bosa moved to the other side. Now, I mean, they move Bosa around anyway, right? But it looked to me like, okay, let's try Quessenberry. And I think that maybe that was the better option too for Bosa. So I think overall it was encouraging. It's been, again, it's not what you want from a second round pick, but it shows you that he has been trying to do everything he can do and that maybe there is a future there.
I did see a couple of the who needs Taylor Lewan when you have Dylan Raidens tweets coming out on Thursday too. Have some good stuff.
Ah, there you go. Remove the podcaster, bring in the rookie. Good take.
Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Check out this great deal. You can get a Downtown Dollars $150 digital gift card for only $100. The gift card is redeemable at hundreds of Downtown Nashville shops, restaurants, and more. And with Downtown Dollars, you get more to spend at an old favorite or discover one of the many new destinations in downtown's growing neighborhoods. Also, it's the end of the year blowout. You can save 75% off at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, Nashville Armory, and the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop. Check out other deals from the Woodhouse Spa, Brooklyn Bowl, Seafood Sensation, and more. All this can be found at Nashville's Best Deals at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are coming to you live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've got a lot of discussion on Derrick Henry coming up. Got a couple of questions on our text line about that already. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Big win for the Titans on Thursday against the Niners. Now in good position to win the AFC South for the second consecutive year. You've got Miami and Houston to close out the season. All you got to do is win one of those two games to win the AFC South. And, you know, if you would have told me heading into the season the Titans are going to win the AFC South, I would have said, yeah, probably. I mean, they probably should, given the roster that they have. Based on the way this season has gone, it is still pretty incredible that they're in this position, given how many injuries they've sustained, that they're the number two seed right now in the AFC. You got to feel pretty good about that if you're a Titans fan. Now, still some work to do. You got a couple games left, and as we know, nothing is a guarantee this year in the NFL, but got to feel pretty good right now, a couple days after Christmas, if you're a Titans fan, based on the spot you're in.
I think so. Good listener and friend from Nolensville, DJ, tweeted at me yesterday, like, man, those Jets and Texans losses, which is always going to be, no matter what happens this year, like, we'll always remember the times with the Jets and the Texans. And I think we talked about this a week ago, like, the Steelers should actually also be put in that category. They are doo-doo, okay? I don't know where doo-doo is on the cheek scale, but it's somewhere amid trash and dog water cheeks. But this, you know, Jets and Tech, I mean, ultimately it's the Steelers. It's a respectable organization and they're going to have an okay record and the Jets and Texans won't. And they're just awful. But again, I mean, we can go through everybody and you're going to find just weirdness, right? I mean, you're going to find games where at the end you're like, man, how did you lose that one? If only we'd won that one, we'd be here, there. And the fact that the Titans threw all this stuff through, again, the most players who've ever played for a team, the most players, I believe, who have started, I think, well, they've had 52 starters. So that's somewhere among the most of all time. The players active is the most of all time. For all that to happen and to lose your best player for what's going to be more than half the season and to still end up where they are if they win the division, I mean, you got to step back and say, wow, that's awfully impressive. I mean, I don't think there's any other way around it. It hasn't been perfect. There's a lot of things that you wish were better, and there's cap trouble coming down the road and all that stuff, but it's been very good. You have to applaud what they've done. I think in particular, the fact that they've really just done a 180 on defense.
Yeah, and that to me, I walked away Thursday night, and I talked to you about this a little bit on Friday as well, but I've been thinking about it more and more over the weekend. Like, Bud Dupree looks like he's pretty healthy right now, and that guy, when he is healthy, is a big-time difference maker. I know the numbers, I mean, they're just not there. The sack numbers are not there. I think he have three on the season? I mean, it's not much. But you can tell, when he's out there, even when he wasn't 100% and when he was out there, he was a difference maker on defense. You can start to see, I think, the wheels turning a little bit with Bud Dupree as to, you know, him getting healthier. I think the knee looks good now. Apparently, he's over the abdominal injury. He looks healthy out there, and he had a few plays the other night against San Francisco where he was very explosive off the ball and looked very, very good. He's a big difference maker for this defense.
No, I agree. And, you know, one of the things that the Titans talked about when they got him and was always his rep was that, you know, he is an edge setter and he's a guy who likes to play, you know, against the run. You know, you get some edge guys who, you know, they want to get after the quarterback. They're not necessarily well-rounded players. He was always known as one. And I thought the other night we saw a well-rounded player who is nice to have out there on the early downs too, which is what Harold Landry is as well. So I agree. That's one of the promising things about, about this team moving forward is if he's good now they've had a little extra time too. I still feel like Landry maybe needs some time here.
Yeah.
I feel like here in the last couple of games, he doesn't look like the same guy. So maybe this little extra break helps him get there. And they can get back to those four guys in particular really being a problem for people. I mean, Autry, every game, there's a couple plays where he takes an offensive lineman and just throws him to the side, you know, and makes a big play. So that's the basis for optimism, I think, for this team right now. You start there.
We were talking about Dylan Raidens in the last segment, and Vrabel had an interesting response on Friday to a question about him from Paul Koharski. Here was that exchange between Koharski and Vrabel last Friday at the press conference.
Just want to Dylan, Mike. Most of the time when you have a guy filling
like that. Is
this like
some cruel joke that on Christmas we're going to let Paul ask three questions? Is that like some like gag gift for me?
Yeah.
Three wishes, yeah.
Go ahead, Paul, sorry.
Most of the time you say when a guy steps in, you know, hey, we fully expected the guy to do his job and next man up and all of that. With Dylan, it seems like, I don't know, a little festival of pride and congratulations and stuff, like it's framed differently, that the second round pick is doing something in week 16 and game 15.
No.
No,
I don't. What I feel is a rookie that went out and competed against a very good defense, a very good player, that probably earned a lot of trust from his teammates for having stood in there and competed with the effort in which he did and helped us win a big game. You know, that's I know that seems like very trivial to you, having not done that. But for me, who gets to watch that and coach that, that's a pretty cool thing. And I wish more people had the opportunity to do that. I know that the offensive line coaches and that unit is a tight unit. And again, whoever would have been out there, you know, we would have had the same, you know, reaction for them. Whether that was Kendall Lamb, who probably was waiting for an opportunity that unfortunately didn't get it, would have been the same thing.
So that was Vrabel on Friday after a question by Paul Kaharsky there, which was always entertaining. What did you think of that exchange between Kaharsky and Vrabel? And do you buy into maybe there's a little bit of parading around going on with Dylan Radins that Paul threw out there?
Just a fantastic phrase. What a festival of pride and congratulations. It's like Karski should make up his own, like his own Festivus, you know. You get the airing of grievances, which Kaharski's would be very long, by the way.
Yes.
And mine would be very long with Kaharski. And now, but instead, and how about a nice, that could be part of Festivus, the festival of pride and congratulations. Ah, just beautiful. And Vrabel gets in the, I know you've never played the game.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with Kaharsky. I think he has an interesting outlook on things. I mean, I appreciate his outlook and I love his cynicism. I just, you know, this is again where you separate the two things. So from the front office perspective, no one should be jumping for joy that your second round pick finally got on the field, right? Like John Robinson and his staff, I doubt there was just this, yes, we got it right. You know, like they invested a second round pick in this kid. So there's high expectations that come with that. And they are much higher than what Dylan Radins has delivered this year. But if you're in the locker room or you're coaching these guys, then it's cliche, but like you don't coach guys based on their draft status. Right. And you know that rookies are rookies in this league. It's hard. It's hard to be in this league. It's hard to stay in this league. And so I think, you know, from that perspective, we can't separate it on the outside. We look at it like second round pick, big freaking deal. This dude should have been starting at right tackle from day one if you picked him the second round, right? From their perspective, they've seen the limitations and the challenges from the start, and they've seen him work. So if he's done the stuff that you want him to do, and let's contrast it with Isaiah Wilson, right, which was just obviously just like a disaster. I mean, just a disaster. If he's done everything they want to do, and then they see him go on the field in a huge spot, a huge game, massive pressure, last second you're on the field, and by the way, there's Nick Bosa. And yes, we're going to give you help, and Corey Levin's going to be out there, and tight ends are going to be out there, but still, like you have to hold some blocks against like one of the best pass rushers in the league. I think that I think you have to be happy for him if you're them, and I think we should understand that. Now, I think Kaharsky's probably, like Vrabel said, no, it's no different. I mean, I do think that some of the comments about it are different than like they would have been for Kendall Lamb, yeah. Right? Because everybody knows that people have been talking about the bust word has been thrown around. Like, so they also know, like, it's just like with Vrabel the other night, I mean, he must have had three or four different comments about, well, you guys thought we were dead, but I guess we're not, huh? All right, Brent wants to fire the coach, want to fire the trainer. I mean, right? Like, you know, you can tell, like, Vrabel knows what everybody's saying out there,
yep,
and it does affect him. So, I mean, I think Garcia's probably right that, like, the reaction internally was different than it would have been for a different player. But I also think it's understandable to me.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Is Derrick Henry watch officially underway? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.